BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here's Monday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. Greg plays Real or No Real. Chris decides to find out exactly how the abseil training is going for children in need. And have you ever had to get over someone you've never dated?
Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
All right, Chris.
You all right, Scott?
Yes, very good, thank you. How weekend?
Well, how was the party? I'm really gutted to have missed it.
It was good. Ended up doing karaoke quite late with Caroline Flack.
Yes.
Yeah, it was good, really good.
That's how all good parties should end.
Did you hear about...
Was it definitely Caroline Flack, or was it someone in Caroline Flack Halloween fancy dress?
No, I believe it was actually her. She just turned up after X Factor.
Because you can't be sure. Especially, it gets later on at night, right? And you're seeing a lot of people dressed up. I'm sure I saw Ed Sheeran at your party as well.
No, he wasn't. No, that was a lookalike. That wasn't. Was it? No, he wasn't there.
See what I mean?
It was the real Caroline Flack. Who have you come as? Caroline Flack?
But not the real... Yeah, but you say that. Some of the outfits were ridiculous. Did you see the guy who turned up as the guy from University Challenge? You know, Hapax Legomenon?
Yes.
As if everyone's meant to know what that is.
Oh, was that who it was?
Yes.
I was wondering that.
Yeah, that's...
I didn't want to ask. Was he the Ted Loveday?
Ted Loveday.
Off of University Challenge?
It was probably my favourite fancy dress. I wish I could name the person right now, but he had Loveday... as a kind of board in front of him, as if he was sitting behind a desk. He looked sort of like Loveday, but he had a speech bubble coming from him which said, Hapax Legomenon.
Amazing. Yeah, it was really good. But maybe next year you'll be there.
100%, I'll be there next year.
I get it.
You're
watching.
We talked about it.
It's fine.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Really good in your bingos last week. We had Geraint Thomas off of cycling on Tuesday. Now we're going to the coverage of Tour de France. Now, Geraint, you must obviously know the pressures involved in cycling professionally. Tell me, has this ever happened to you?
A 9-minute deficit at the moment for Alberto Contador. And the skid marks left on the road after the fall were 100 metres long.
100 metres. So he was on his normal bike that he does off of cycling, and you were on a child's bike.
Yeah.
It looked good, though.
Cheers for that.
And Thursday, it was Rihanna off of films. Frances de la Tour is going through some old cartoons. Imagine her surprise when she found this in the collection.
And then this rather pompous woman seems a bit lardy, but she's showing a leg.
Yes.
Surely 1,000 cannot be called excessive damages. And now a rather big lady with a huge muff.
Frankie Del Toro is so naughty.
So you can watch the Rihanna one on Radio 1 YouTube, and the Geraint Thomas one is on BBC iPlayer. I'm very excited to say that we have got two incredible guest bookings this week on Innuendo Bingo. Tomorrow, ahead of the Teen Awards, this Sunday, the Vamps are going to be in.
Excellent. I've seen they've tweeted already as well. They're excited.
Yep. So they are co-hosting part of the show, the Teen Awards show, with Grimmy on Sunday. So we'll get them in to get wet. I mean, perfect preparation for
Absolutely.
Teen Awards, I think. 1:45 tomorrow. And then, oh, this is a bit of you. Thursday, 1:45. All right, Chief.
I know. So excited for this.
TV chef Tom Kerridge.
Yes.
Now, do you remember... He has played the game before and you're getting all excited about it. And then for some reason, when he was in, you weren't here.
I know, I was ill or something, so Greg had to step up. A nightmare scenario for me. This guy is an absolute don.
Yeah.
He's a chief.
He is a chief. I love him, Tom Kerridge, and he's a lot of fun as well. So you must be excited about this one.
I can't wait, because I was worried that I'd really missed out that time and that he wouldn't be coming back. So it's good on two fronts. One, he's decided to come back for round two, and two, that I'll be there to play it.
The Vamps, Tuesday. Tom Kerridge, Thursday. Innuendo Bingo, 1:45 on Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Wow, that guy that's trying to get 27 million offer.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
I'm just trying to work out what phrases I know from Taylor Swift songs that I can claim that I came up with.
Yeah.
It's a tricky one, isn't it?
It never in my wildest dreams. You invented that.
Yeah, I'm just going to say I invented that. Go for the money.
Go for it.
Mills, I need your help with something.
Yes.
One of my friends is having girl dramas, but I don't think it's normal.
And, well, you know the right person to come to.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So my mate has this same routine every morning before he goes to work. So he gets up, He goes for a coffee in this same coffee house.
Hmm.
It's fairly near where he works in Uxbridge.
Yeah, so it's like part of the daily routine. You go in there every day before work.
He's been doing this routine for quite a while, and he, well, to be brutally honest, he fancied one of the girls that works in there. So he's been trying to have little bits of conversations with her, but it never really goes anywhere.
Mm.
And because you know how quick it is when you order a coffee, coffee comes and then you're gone. So he's struggled to really up the game there anyway.
Okay.
Never really progressed.
Right, okay. Why is this an issue if it's just a person in a coffee shop?
Well, get this. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, she wasn't there anymore. And it really bothered him.
Well, maybe she'd have a day off or something.
Right, so yeah, that's what I thought. So he left it a few days, but no, she wasn't even there the week after that. So what he did is he asked someone in the coffee house, where is this girl now? Mm. You know, what's she up to?
Mm.
And he found out that she's gone travelling.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But what's ridiculous about this situation, he's absolutely heartbroken.
How can he be heartbroken?
That's exactly what I think. So, for example, in the pub, he talks about her, but not just talks about her, he kind of... When we say to him, go over and talk to that girl over there, he won't do
not
it.
Not interested.
He's got this girl completely on his mind. He doesn't know her. He's barely met her, only for a coffee every morning.
Right, so all he's done is ordered a coffee off this girl a few times, and now you're telling me that he's heartbroken because she's gone travelling.
Yeah, and he's found out that she's gone.
Not in love.
And he's worried that she's now left his life forever.
Is he really fed up?
That's strange, isn't it?
It is weird, yeah.
He's so fed up. I mean, I don't want to say it's as extreme as him not going out, but he's not the same person.
Oh, no, is he a broken man?
He's like, honestly, we'll be out and he'll be saying, you know, he'll just be very insular and he won't talk to people as much.
I just miss her. How can you miss her?
That's what I think. And it's worse. As the night goes on, it gets worse. He gets more emotional with it.
Can I just remind us all at this point that he has never dated this girl?
Mm.
Does this happen, do you think?
He used to see her for a coffee in the morning. That's it.
How can
you fall in love like that?
I wonder if anyone else has had this feeling before when you're actually trying to get over someone that you've never dated at all.
The Scott Mills Daily.
As I thought, there's more people than I ever thought would admit to it, Harriet and Ken. Is convinced she's grown feelings for a man that gets on her train. Never spoke to him. When he's not on the train one day, she gets really upset. Harriet, that's not normal.
Nick's texting saying one of his friends really fancied someone who worked in KFC. Eventually asked her out, but she was going off travelling somewhere, so just wouldn't work out at all.
Right.
But how bad is that? You know when you really think you love someone?
Yes.
I mean, that's the thing about my friend. I think he thinks he loves her.
This is... B as one on Twitter says, this is how every fanboy / girl feels when they find out their celebrity pop star crush is in a relationship.
Yes.
It is. Hello, Radio 1.
Hi, it's Laura.
Hi, Laura. Where are you?
I'm in Chichester. Yeah.
Chai.
Yeah.
Chai. So, Laura, have you ever had to get over someone that you've never even gone out with?
Yeah. I don't think I'm still over him.
Right, this is happening more than we think.
So this is currently ongoing?
Yeah, it's a few years in as well.
Few years?
What? Yeah.
Okay, who is this amazing guy?
Basically, I was just a guy at work. I moved offices about 3 years ago and I started noticing this guy around and just thought he was lovely, and we've never spoken. And about 6 months ago, he left.
On what? So he left work?
Yeah, I found out because one of my friends at work was invited to his leaving party, and so I was a bit devastated.
Why weren't you invited to the leaving party?
Because we've never spoken.
Yeah.
But hang on, by the time this leaving party happened, you fancied this guy.
Oh yeah, I was like obsessed. Every time he came in the office, I'd just do the strong silent type sort of thing and sort of maybe look at him and give him a smile and then look away.
Right, be honest with me. When you heard that he was leaving, were you gutted?
Yeah, a little bit.
A lot?
Yeah, well, there's no one else in the office that's anything good looking, so he was like my eye candy, and then he left, and I've been left with nothing, really.
I've been left with nothing.
But you guys didn't talk. You guys didn't really do much together.
Nothing, no.
Did you ever go to the same meetings at work or whatever, or...?
Only the ones the whole company were involved in, so there was like 400 other people.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yes. But would you try to sit near him?
I would sit, like, maybe behind him and give him an eye. It never really worked.
Hey, Laura, if you're not invited to someone's leaving, do?
Yeah.
They don't know you.
Yeah, I get that.
Were you tempted to go along anyway?
Yeah, part of me. I was trying to get my friend to go so I could go with her, but she didn't want to.
Oh, this is so good. You've never dated this guy, and you're like, when he left, you were gutted, weren't you?
Yeah, a little bit.
So how long is it since he left work now?
About 6 months.
And how are you dealing with that, please?
Well, I tried to Facebook stalk him, but he's got really big privacy skills. And then on Twitter, he doesn't really update.
Well, how did you find him then?
On LinkedIn.
Okay.
I've never even thought to search there.
No.
It's a really great place to search.
What do you mean? How does that work?
Well, I just go on his profile, and because if you look at someone's profile, you get an email saying that so-and-so's looked at your profile, so I'm kind of hoping that he'll see that I've looked at his profile, and then he'll connect with me, and then we could have a love story.
What is going on? Why would you do that? Because, like, what possible reason would you be looking on his profile anyway?
Because we used to work together. He might think I'm a really nice person.
You've never spoken to him?
That's a bizarre way of getting his attention.
Because I've looked at his profile a few times, I've never had a connection request or anything.
I mean, these are all things that are out there, you know, like all public pages, so yeah. It's not that weird. But it's weird because you don't know him.
I don't think so.
Do you think he's doing the same the other way around? I don't.
That's what I think he's doing, though. I think we could be in love. We just never have the opportunity to tell each other.
Laura, you seem like an expert on this. You might be able to answer this worry that I have in my head. But you know on Facebook where it comes up with suggested friends?
Yeah.
And it seems to somehow know who you're thinking about rather than... It's really bizarre. Like, the suggested friends thing, there's some weird science behind it. You sound like you're an expert. Can you explain what's going on there, please?
I have no idea. He's never come up as mine, so I don't think we've got many mutuals.
Do you know what? That means someone's decided for you. It's not meant to be.
Facebook has decided.
See, there are so many stereotypes, Laura. When you split up with somebody, there are processes you go through. You do look them up every now and again on Facebook just to see who they're with and what they're doing. But all of these things you are doing, like he's an ex, he's not.
Or maybe like he's a current.
No, he's not.
No, but he's not. You're doing it wrong.
But you look up your crush as well. If you start talking to someone, you look him up. So kind of the same thing, we just haven't talked.
Ever. Yeah.
I know, but I was just in love with him. He was everything I wanted.
No, you're not.
Yeah, just said that she was in love with him.
You're trying to get over someone that that he barely knows you.
I know, but to me it works.
I wasn't sure we'd get a response to this, but there are loads of other people, clearly, who've had to get over someone that they've never dated.
Yeah.
So you haven't given up, have you, Laura?
Well, no. I'm still hoping that one day we'll... I can see where he goes, where he needs work, so maybe I could go get a job with him again.
Okay. I'm just going to leave my current job and go and work where he works.
I think as hard as it is, I think you might need to get over it.
I know. I need to get a real boyfriend, though, before I give up my imaginary one.
Yeah, true. Has it helped to talk about it today?
No, not really.
Okay, good. Love you, bye. The Scott Mills Daily. Right, Luke in Manchester's been on saying that he did once use the words wildest dreams can he get £4.70 off Taylor Swift? He's also tall and considered a bit handsome, but not handsome as hell. Okay, bye. Thanks. That was Wildest Dreams by Taylor Swift on BBC Radio 1. Oh, this is so good. People just saying, like, yeah, I've really tried to get over this person, but I can't. But you've never dated them.
There's so many stories, and it's all about people fancying, generally people in different professions. Loads of people want to be anonymous with this one, of course. Mm. But there is a checkout boy at a Tesco somewhere who is the object of someone's desire, but they just can't go up to them, and they just can't get over those feelings for the checkout boy.
Yeah.
And there's also hot tapas man waiter.
Yes, I saw that one. And did you see Claire? Who, now that Grimmie is on X Factor, it's made it... Well, she was obsessed anyway, but it's made it a fresh obsession. She can't get over it. And that is the wrong tree that she's barking up there, isn't it? This is good. One member of the show team has just admitted something quite fantastic. It's not me or Chris, by the way. But there was a girl that was on his course at university. She went to America. He's absolutely gutted. Never been out with her. Barely knew her. For the next 12 months, decides he would send love heart-shaped tubs of Marmite to her.
Yeah.
In America, because he was like, what can't she get in America? I don't know, Marmite. He didn't even know whether she liked Marmite or not. That's how little he knew her.
It changes your behaviour, doesn't it? It makes you do unreasonable things like that.
Let me ask that person. You don't just nod or disagree. Did you ever hear from her? Did you ever get any kind of like, thanks for the Marmite? Never. But you continued sending that for 12 months.
She obviously hated it.
So weird.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Nicola's been ongoing. Is it Bumble Air Wednesday yet? And Natasha in Foggy Leeds. I feel you. I know what you're saying.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because at this stage of the week, all you can think about is the idea of it being Bumble Air Wednesday.
I know. Not long now. Oh, we need to talk about this. Oh, on Friday, I was doing the training for this abseil that I keep forgetting that I'm doing, and well, because I'm putting it to the back of my mind, for children in need.
Yeah, you text me saying it all went very well, though.
It was fine. That was good. I mean, I was better than I thought, to be honest.
Which I'm surprised by, but there you go.
More on this a bit later on. Now, remember Everything Everything?
Yes, of course.
Great band. Sing quite high and quite fast.
Sing fast.
Quite fast. Every time, do you remember we played Distant Past? We were like, talking really fast. Distant Past.
But every time they got a new song out, I get quite excited to hear because I know it's going to be fast and it's going to be high.
Yep. Now, this is possibly, I'm putting it out there, it's the highest and fastest it's ever been.
I've not heard this yet.
Do you want to hear it?
Should I brace myself?
I'm going to leave the microphones on just to hear your reaction to No Reptiles on Radio 1. Slip from the trees of the dead, from the wild to the car, and the snow could drink, and crawl to your shin like a manacle swing. Talking really fast, talking really fast. Fresh from the breast, now river on a fat to the man, I'm on a rat to the man, I'm on a flea to a flood to a drain, now river, now chain. Talking really fast.
I was in the war. You were in the war.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Stop laughing.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. I mean, lyrically, what was going on?
Stop it.
Like someone's a patch up.
Someone's
that... I'm that... so sorry. That's just, come on. That's silly.
That's someone's song. It's all right to feel like a fat child in a pushchair.
Oh, when's the live lounge?
Can someone check if everything are okay, hun, please?
The best.
That was a song called No Reptiles, obviously.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
You okay now? You better?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Five Sauce. I'm going to be at the Teen Awards this Sunday with Radio 1. We're going to be there as well, aren't we?
Yep.
On the old red carpet. Just had a massive flashback to my Halloween party at my house on Saturday night. It was a bit where Rita Ora and Grimmie came after the X Factor.
That's brilliant.
With Caroline Flack.
Were you expecting it?
No, I wasn't expecting that. I just got a text from Grimmie going, what's your address? I was like, okay. Impromptu, but I like it.
So, yeah, what was the rule then? You weren't tempted to turn her away for being uninvited?
No. It was very, very, very welcome any time around mine.
Did you turn away anybody from the party?
Not that I remember, no. But there was an awful moment where, in my lounge, Rita Ora kept trying to do karaoke with Grimmie, and the machine was running off the Wi-Fi. It kept buffering. So, like, you've got a massive pop star trying to sing, but it just stops all the time.
What was she singing?
I can't remember. Pretty urban song. I can't remember what it was. But she wasn't, because every time she started, the machine just stopped again. I was like, sorry, Rita. Everyone, can you get off the Wi-Fi? Rita's trying to sing.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1. 1.
Do you know what I was thinking about? You know that marine training day you went on Friday?
Yes. Oh, thank you to you and Matt for doing the show, by the way, on Friday.
No bother at all. But how was it?
It was good, you know.
Because it's odd, because we've been talking about it, like me and you, over text over the weekend, but you haven't really said much about it on the radio today.
Yeah, well, obviously, next Friday, I'm actually abseiling off Blackpool Tower for Children in Need. So I spent the day with the Royal Marines in Devon on Friday. It went really well, thanks.
Really well.
But
you see, this is what doesn't add up to me, because, no offence, mate, but you're not like the most sportiest of people, are you?
And
generally, the idea of spending a day with the Marines, aside from the obvious interests, for me, it doesn't seem like your kind of thing. You know, it's quite physically demanding.
Yeah, but it was fine. Thank you for asking. Went really well.
It should be quite sort of mucky and, yeah, and muddy and, I don't know and scary.
What else,
and
I don't know what else you're after here. I don't
that's
really
what I don't get about you. Something doesn't quite add up.
It went really well and I'm doing it on next Friday. That's what's happening.
So I've been given the number for a man called Brian. Now, who's Brian?
Oh, okay. Brian is the Marine that is teaching me how to abseil. Obviously, yeah, never done anything like that before, but it went well.
So what I'm thinking is, because I think we all want to know really how it's going, I think it's all very well you playing up this idea that it's absolutely fine. I can't really imagine it, is I might give Brian a call.
I don't think there's any need for that, Chris.
Okay, well I've just got his number, so we might as well give him a call.
No, just take my word that it went really well. Oh, let's not do this.
Hello?
Is that Brian?
Yeah, speaking.
Yeah, it's Chris Stark. I'm a friend of Scott Mills, who you've been beasting last week.
Oh, yeah. Okay, how is he getting on?
He's okay. He seems ever so slightly broken today.
Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott. You've recovered a little bit, have you?
Here's the thing, though, Brian. Scott seems to be claiming that he's pretty much a Marine now. Well, everything was quite easy.
Okay, that's not exactly what I said, though, was it? Okay, I don't think look, Brian is an actual Marine. We don't need to waste his time by making a phone call like this.
Yeah, but I can also tell by your face that you're hurting from what happened on Friday, so I'd quite like to know what actually went on.
Okay, Brian?
Well, I think Scott turned up, keen to make everything happen, jumped off the train, met by a nice man, and then he went and did some things on the bottom field that he probably wasn't expecting to do.
I was not.
Talk me through the bottom field, Brian.
Well, he was given a uniform, a number, and then he was put through his paces with a group of extremely fit young men.
Now, how was he with the uniform? Did he try and sort of style it up a little bit, or did he just put it as is?
I'd say he wasn't a complete natural in that uniform.
So he had the uniform on. He's in the bottom field with a load of Marines. Now,
next thing you know, I'm on my stomach in water, crawling.
Yeah, he was just trying to build up his confidence, getting himself out of comfort zone, and I'm pretty sure that occurred very quickly.
Really quickly, Brian. Quicker than I thought it would.
How much did he moan?
Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, it was probably up around the 8 and 8.5.
Yeah. Come on, Brian. This is what I suspected. I knew you weren't telling the truth. So, did you take his mobile phone off him, or did he have a chance to keep taking it out, text his agents, that kind of thing?
I did see him put it down at one point, but it might have been an accident.
Yeah. And then, Brian, me and you went over to the abseil wall, didn't we?
That's right, yeah. Again, comfort zone was something that wasn't there.
Brian, did he cry?
No, he didn't cry, but it was like a silent sort of... there was a whimper there.
It was whimpering, so Brian, that's exactly right.
So what happened then? So you'd had him in the bottom field, and then you took him to the abseil rope. And what did this involve? I mean, this was quite high, I imagine.
Yeah, I watched a demonstration, and then I had to do it myself.
Now, Scott says he was really good at this part of it, that he was actually a natural. Right, what would you say, Brian?
He's one of the best undiagnosed vertigo sufferers that I've seen at high.
And the truth will set you free.
Brian, it's so high. Okay, right. I was just doing the confidence thing just to make you think that I was good at it. Right. I was awful. But Brian was there for me every step of the way.
So now can we be honest about this situation? You are rubbish with heights.
Absolutely,
right?
Yes.
And even at this training thing that Marines were doing with you, you were pretty rubbish at that.
Yeah. Bear in mind, this wall that we abseiled down was 30 feet. So Blackpool Tower is 13 times higher than that. Mm. There was a point where I just got stuck, basically. Do you remember that, Brian?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I've not witnessed this before, but yeah, you did get stuck.
Yeah, it was like I just wanted to have a little bit of a rest, so just stop.
What did you do? Just chill?
Just hang in a midair, yeah.
Wait for a member of staff to come out and deal with the situation.
I was shouting back up to Brian, Brian, why am I not moving?
Yeah, he's carrying out some sort of wrong drill, perhaps.
How did he deal with people telling him what to do?
What are you on about?
Well, he seemed to jump to it. So yeah. If someone was clapping their hands, then he was jumping up and down. Yeah. So loads of motivation.
I went through a lot on Friday.
Yes, I agree.
Brian, you're a proper Marine, right? You're like the real deal.
Yes, I suppose so.
So I'm just wondering, how close is Scott now to being like one of you guys?
He's quite some way off at the moment.
Yeah.
What are the key differences, you'd say, between the average Marine and Scott?
I certainly think his heart's in the right place.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's positive.
I think what Brian's trying to say is the list is too long to possibly even go into
not
now.
We're going
to
try. I mean, is there anything we can do to help on our end ahead of this abseil? I mean,
yes.
Can we change his appearance?
Stay out of it.
Or what can we do? I mean, like, I spent a little bit of last week just shouting at him randomly to prepare him for his trip to come see you guys. But if there's more we can do, we're more than willing to help.
Yeah, shouting, mocking, all that sort of thing tends to help.
I mean, I really found that helped on Friday.
I think what you need to get a bit more used to as well is the possibility of bad weather that night.
So I know.
Maybe what I could do is every now and then just throw a cup of water in your face as you go about your daily business.
Well, maybe what we could do is like get one of them wind machines that Beyonce has just to try and get me used to the wind.
Right, here's the difference then. This, in essence, is the exact difference between Scott and a Marine. Now, you're suggesting he gets used to the conditions by, you know, water in face, dealing with heavy wind, stuff like that. Scott just thinks it's an opportunity to have someone carry a fan around with him, making him look beautiful.
Well, I can imagine that work. I did notice on the day that we had somebody with him who was there in order to tie shoelaces whenever they came along.
Oh, wow, way. Yeah, who was this then, Scott?
I couldn't do up the boots, Brian. I've never done anything like this before. I couldn't even get the belt on.
No, listen, I know it's a massive deal what you're doing. Don't get me wrong. I think it is incredible what you're going to do on Blackpool Tower. But all the same, everyone does want to make sure we all get the most out of this. Mm. Do you know what I mean, Scott? Everyone supports you, but it's a difficult thing that you're doing and everyone wants it to be, you know, as difficult as possible.
Yeah, don't worry, it is. There was one bit where Brian was like, I know that you're possibly playing up to the cameras a bit, but like you don't need to do that. And I'm like, no, Brian, I'm really scared.
Okay, well, Brian, if you speak to the other Marines and let us know if there's anything more we can do to help Scott before the big day.
Yeah, well, I'll canvass the lads tonight and see if we can put something together.
Don't know about you, Brian, but I think we need a bit more practice before next Friday. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. It'd be nice to get some.
It's next Friday. Not this, but next Friday.
Oh, I thought this was weeks off.
No, yeah, so did I when I said yes.
Oh, it's November now, isn't it?
Yes, it's happening next Friday. Ooh. I've spent an hour on a 30-foot wall so far.
Okay, right, we must up preparations.
Right, Brian, I'll be texting you later.
Great stuff.
Right, good to speak to you.
And you, bye.
Bye, bye, bye. Good, thanks for making that call. Cheers. And this is happening, the 400-foot abseil for Children in Need on Children in Need Night on BBC One next Friday, the 13th of November.
The Scott Mills Daily.
One Direction and Perfect on BBC Radio 1. We're going to see them just a few more times now, aren't we? And then they're off on their really long holiday. That's what they're calling it now.
Haven't they done their last gig yet? Or did I read that wrong?
They've done it. I think we'll see them a few more times doing various things, but then that's pretty much it. And then the longest holiday. Today it's revealed that Harry Styles wears 26-inch women's jeans.
Okay,
26-inch waist.
What does that equate to? Is that medium? Small?
That is not a medium.
Is it not?
It's probably even an XS, is it?
Is it?
I think it's a small. It's definitely a small. I think Quimi does that as well. Just likes wearing women's jeans better. Just finds them more comfortable. I don't know why.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Someone says, about your Halloween party, please tell me that Grimmy and Rita Ora turned up to your party with their drink in a carrier bag and then carried it round with them all night so that no one else could have it. A lot of people that do that.
Or hide it in the washing machine or something.
Yeah, yeah. I think you'll find my vodka's just in the washing machine. No, they didn't do that. They were very generous.
BBC Radio 1's Teen Awards.
I can't believe it's happening this Sunday. At London's SSE Arena, rather, in Wembley. We've got Nick Jonas, we've got Little Mix, we've got All Time Low, we've got 5 Seconds of Summer, all that lot performing. We announced the Vamps are co-hosting some of the show with Grimmy as well this Sunday. It's going to be a fantastic day. Loads of good performances and such a loud crowd always at Wembley. Now, back in August, we launched our campaign for this year's Teen Heroes, and we were looking for 3 incredible teens who have done something truly extraordinary. Once again, as we've had before, we had a huge response and we all sat in a room, didn't we, a few weeks ago. So all the presenters, Greg, Clara, Adele from Early's, Gemma Kearney and Grimmy, and we all sat in a room and it was a hard thing to choose, wasn't it?
Well, we spent a long time discussing it and it was really hard because everyone who was nominated was discussed. Everyone actually ended up getting a vote by someone that was in that room. So it really wasn't easy to narrow it down.
It was a really kind of emotional few hours as well, just going through all these incredible stories. For the first time as well, former teen heroes from each of the last 4 years were there to help us with our decision on who should be the teen heroes for this year. So today it's all about celebrating those heroes. Earlier today, Grimmy introduced you to the first teen hero for 2015, Rosie, and her incredibly courageous story, fighting an inoperable brain tumour, alongside at the same time raising money for the charities that have helped her. Now, Greg's going to tell you about the final winner after 4 o'clock today, but now I want to tell you all about Aaron, who was chosen as teen hero number two. Now, Aaron was born a girl, and when he turned 16 on the 1st of March this year, his dad sent a text around the whole family asking them all to treat Aaron as a boy from that moment onwards. Now, for quite some time, Aaron had been going through a lot of anxiety and depression, and that was because of something called gender dysphoria, which means that you feel that your body doesn't reflect your true gender, so you don't feel comfortable and you have a strong desire to live as another sex. Aaron found that through all this, a really good way to help with how he was feeling was by telling people and communicating exactly his true feelings on his YouTube channel. He also helped others to understand how they were feeling on there. And since all this happened, another younger pupil, younger than Aaron, at his school has opened up and is now exploring the idea of being transgender. And that is all thanks to Aaron for talking about it publicly in the first place, which is an incredibly brave thing to do when you're that young. And by sharing his experiences online and at school, Aaron has helped a lot of other young people understand the feelings that they're going through, because he had the same. And we can talk to Aaron now. Hi.
Hi.
You're right?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Now, we recently video called you and we revealed that you've been named as one of the 2015 Radio 1 teen heroes. How do you feel now it's actually sunk in?
I'm just shocked. I can't believe that I've won it.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I know when we first tell people, like, they sometimes have to have a little moment to go and collect their thoughts.
Yeah, definitely. I ran to my mum.
Yeah, what does your mum say?
She's just really proud of me. She's very excited as well.
Gave you a big hug.
Yeah.
And what have your friends said and people online when you've told them?
They're all really excited for me and very jealous.
Jealous that you're going to Wembley?
Yeah.
Thing is, Aaron, you're so humble. That's what always comes across every time we've spoken to you. I think what's really nice about you is it's such a massive thing to win a teen award and to be getting the recognition that you're getting. But it's almost like sometimes you don't really want that recognition, or you don't know how to deal with that recognition.
It's kind of like, it's not for me. It's sort of the whole community as well, like the LGBT community. So I just excited to share it with everyone.
I know that you volunteer at your local youth club every Tuesday, helping to look after 12 to 13 year olds. I know that you've suffered from depression and anxiety, and I know you told your school counsellor first, and then they told your parents. So you've been through a lot. You deserve this award.
Thank you.
What are you looking forward to the most, do you think, at the Teen Awards?
Being with everyone and the other teen heroes.
Are you looking forward to going on stage? Are you kind of dreading it?
Kind of dreading it, but it's exciting. A great opportunity. So,
how do you think that moment is going to play out? So you must have tried to imagine what it's going to be like stepping out at Wembley in front of all those people. Do you want to talk us through exactly how you think it might go?
I'll probably just be really quiet. I don't know how to deal with that many people.
No, but look, don't think about it too much. You've got to kind of like just enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it will be there to help you. Okay.
Okay.
You'll be going on stage with us anyway.
Okay.
So don't be scared.
That's right.
You just got to lap it up and enjoy it because you deserve it.
Okay.
What band or artist are you looking forward to seeing the most?
All Time Low. Very excited for All Time Low.
Yeah, they're so good live, right?
Yeah.
Chris is getting really stressed about what to wear, Aaron, at the Teen Awards. Have you sorted your outfit yet?
Yep, I got mine the day after I found out.
Did you? Yeah. See, Chris, that's the kind of planning that you need.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, that annoys me slightly. Now, if we're going to be on stage with you, are you going full smart or are you going smart casual? Or are you going casual?
Smart casual.
I've got skinny jeans and then a blazer and a shirt.
Yes. Oh, no. Blazer is good.
Do you remember when you tried to take me shopping for skinny jeans, Scott?
Yeah, that wasn't
one of the most stressful experiences I've ever been through.
That didn't go well.
Never doing it again.
I had to help him out of them.
It was, honestly, Aaron, it was one of the worst experiences I've had. And the problem is, the more you stress, the more difficult that situation in the changing room became.
Well, listen, we're really looking forward to having you at the Teen Awards with us. And like I said, we'll be on stage and with you every step of the way. All right, Aaron?
Okay, thank you.
And congratulations again. We'll see you on Sunday.
Oh my God.
Not long to wait.
No.
All right, see you soon.
Bye.
And remember, you can watch absolutely everything from the Teen Awards on the Radio 1 website this Sunday. So you'll see all the performances, and most importantly, you will see the teen heroes getting those awards, which they really do deserve. On the Radio 1 website, the Teen Awards, Sunday at 3 p.m.
BBC Radio 1's Teen Awards.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, Greg.
Hello, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Nice to see you all sober.
You know what? Love.
Peace and love to you. I'm warning you with peace and love. I want to publicly apologise for a no-show on Saturday.
That's all right. Rhys Roy was there dressed as a banana. What do you need?
I overdid it at the rugby.
Oh, did you, love? Yeah. I thought you might have done. It's absolutely fine. There's always next year, the Halloween party.
I had to take myself off home.
I nearly said to Aura, it's a pop star theme, but then realised that she was one, so banana fine. No one else there was an actual pop star apart from her, so it's fair enough.
What songs on the karaoke was everyone doing?
Oh, I mean, the trouble is with karaoke, it's the worst it's been, because it was like, I don't know what's happening with my Wi-Fi connection, but it was buffering. And, you know, Rita Ora doesn't wait to sing, she just sings. And I was like, sorry, Rita, it's buffering again. It always does this now. I don't know what's going on.
You could have done some really cheeky choices.
Yeah, did you avoid certain songs?
Come on, you would have put Shake It Off on, wouldn't you? Come on.
No, I wasn't in charge of that bit.
Oh, come on, it's a bit of Calvin.
That would have made an amazing video.
Just a little bit of Taylor Swift.
Oh, sorry, I forgot.
It's buffering. Here's today's Real or No Real.
Gino DeCampo was at Scott Mills' Halloween party on Saturday, but nobody realised it was him until he texted to say thank you the next day.
I hate that.
That's the problem with fancy dress. You actually don't know who's there, do you?
I don't remember Gino DeCampo being there. I'm sausage. You'd remember that, wouldn't you?
Was he not in the kitchen being all flirty and saucy with rolling pins and stuff?
But it works.
Oh, my rolling pin is so hard. You would have known. You would have known if he was there.
Just going through your utensils drawer.
Oh, a whisk! I should be so lucky.
Oh, it is like that, isn't it?
But I mean, it works the same the other way around, doesn't it?
Oh, a can opener. All that.
That you think someone's there, but actually it's just someone in fancy dress.
Yes, you're saying that is the thing with the fancy dress. It's hard to tell who anybody is.
I probably could have got away with it if you were gone. I could have just said, "Oh, great night last night, mate."
Yeah, I know you actually could probably. And I would have been like, "Oh, I hope you enjoyed it."
Do you know what else?
Hope you didn't mind that I brought Prince Charles along. Just make up anything.
Sorry about Camilla.
She's funny when she's had a few.
She's had a couple.
But you could have also turned up at Scott's house pretending to be someone, just be in the fancy dress, say, hello, I'm Ed Sheeran, and get let straight through.
Sure.
So is this real? Was Gino there at my Halloween party on Saturday, but no one realised until he texted me the next day to say thanks for having me?
Real.
Yeah, I'm going to go real on this one.
That one is no real.
Oh. Nope. Well, as far as we know, I'm certainly not aware of any DeCampo action.
Was he there or not?
No.
Okay.
No real.
Any chefs?
Have you checked? Have you done an inventory of your utensils? He's taken them home. or replace them with his own brand.
Yes.
Blenders.
Yes. That's exactly what he would
left
do.
You a gift in the kitchen. Oh, God. Now what?
Not again, Gino.
We showed you where the bathroom was.
Next.
There is a travel agency that allows you to send your cuddly toys on holiday without you.
This is a bit like the guy that we discovered who's now internet famous, Will, the guy who goes around the world with a toy badger going on various stag and hen do's. But at least he goes with the cuddly toy. This is the company that will send your toy on holiday, but you're not there. You don't go on holiday, just the toy. What's the point?
So if you love your cuddly toy so much, you want to treat them. Give them a little holiday, then go elsewhere. And
whoever invented this, if this is real, they are having a laugh. They are, so they're getting the holidays. Yeah, so they take your bear and then go off to Pisa or whatever.
Yeah, if real, the cuddly toy goes on a holiday, has lots of lovely photos, doing that thing with the finger on the Leaning Tower of Pisa, you know?
Yeah.
Where you try and make it look like you're holding it up with one finger.
Try and pinch the top of the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
That's just what I want my teddy bear to be doing.
Those pictures annoy me.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's just because everyone thinks, it's almost as if everyone thinks it's the first time it's been done.
What about the amazing one? This is from years ago, the guy who tried to hold the sun. Tried to pinch the sun between his finger and his thumb, and then everyone's just photoshopped it and put it all over the place. Like, made a massive sun, put his face under his finger and all sorts. It's amazing.
Or the ones that are like, look, I've got the Eiffel Tower growing out of my head.
Yeah, look at me, I'm licking Big Ben.
You're not, though. Real or no real? Stuffed toys?
Probably real, this.
I think no real.
That one is real.
Wow. Yes, it is. So here's how it works. You post your stuffed toy out to them. They take it around the world, send you loads of photos, and then post it back for a small fee. And next...
Dancing to Gangnam Style increases your pain threshold.
So dancing builds you up. Maybe that's what it is. So, I mean, do you think you can take more pain? Now you've been on Strictly, Scott, you know, like exercise-wise.
Absolutely,
you
can go and... Yeah, I can smash it out now, whereas before...
Sorry?
Can we have that for the gap on Bumble Wednesday, please?
Smash it out.
Oh, smash it out.
I can smash it out now, whereas before crab, no chance.
Pre-crab.
BC. Before crab. Oh my God, it's Scott Mills BC.
Do you view your life as Scott Mills BC?
Yeah, there was a definite change.
BC is before crab.
Yeah.
Scott Mills, BC.
Don't call me BC.
Well, you know, BC, I would have done anything. But...
Back in BC, we could do what we wanted.
Just don't say the letters BC around my name. It suggests ancient. Anyway, so that's dancing to Gangnam Style. Increase your pain threshold.
Probably.
I don't care.
I think that's probably real.
Scott Mills, BC.
Yes, Chris?
Real.
Sorry, I forgot about the game. I'm going to go real.
That one is real.
Yes. Yay. A group of researchers at Oxford University found that if you exert yourself or synchronise your movement, like, for instance, dancing to Gangnam Style, you can arrive at an elevated pain threshold. At the end of that round, of real or no real?
I got 10, Greg got 20.
Yeah.
So what's on today?
Today, as you said, we're catching up with another of our teen heroes, and after 5:10, Sir David Attenborough is live in the studio.
Live?
Live.
That's incredible. Those are all of Monday's best bits. We're back tomorrow from 1 on BBC Radio 1. And ahead of the Teen Awards, the Vamps are on at 1:45 on Innuendo Bingo.